Today on Sound Doctrine, the great privilege of being used of God.
He does a work in us to do a work through us. That's why he saved us, because he's got a job for all of us to do. We're his disciples. We're to be working for the Lord. Jesus said it beautifully, I must be about my Father's business. That's what we must be about too.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
And welcome again to Sound Doctrine. We'll meet up with Pastor Jeff Johnson in Romans chapter 12. Whether we're helping someone get their groceries every now and then, caring for babies in the nursery, or helping teach a Sunday school class, God can use us in powerful ways. Question is, are you putting the gifts he's giving you to use? You see, God wants to use us and our gifts. It's not only a high privilege, but very fulfilling. With more, here's Pastor Jeff.
Romans chapter 12, we started last week with, and we got a big two verses. We're going to get more than that this week. So Romans chapter 12, and Romans is about knowing God. From chapter 12, though, and on, it's about being used of God. So it's kind of, we're changing gears. Remember I said it's the hinge of Romans chapter 12? And so to know God is from chapters 1 through 11, and now how to serve God and what it is to be used by God. Christianity is not about being religious. Many of you have been hearing this for a long time, and that's the truth. We are not religious people. We have a relationship, and we talk about relationship, but that's the most important thing, is our relationship with Him. In fact, that is the first thing that needs to be established in anyone's life, is what is your relationship with the living God? Are you His child or not? And so the vertical, which is the most important, and that is to be right with God. So you know that no matter what happens, you've got your house in order, you're right with God, you have a right-on relationship with your right-on Redeemer, right? And it's close and it's awesome and you love it. So the vertical, so important. But then once you get the vertical comes the horizontal, and that is in our relationship with one another, our love to one another. So you get this first, and then you're able to tap into our source and get what you need to get along with your brothers and sisters and your family and your in-laws and your outlaws and all that, everybody, right? I mean, it flows. I'm serious. You get it from God, and you got then what it takes to deal with issues and to see that your relationship with others around you, even that mean boss you're working for, you know, that mean guy or that teacher that's just dealing with you, you know, you can love them, man. You can just give them to the Lord and give a word of encouragement to them. And it just ministers so powerfully. So vertical, and then comes the horizontal, which is interesting. That makes the cross, doesn't it? And that's what he gave his life on, that cross. So we're new creatures in Christ. The Bible says that means we're new creations. When we receive Christ, we become, and I used the word channels last service, channels of his love. I mean, nobody likes that word channels. So this couple came up to me and said, we got the word you need to use. I said, what? We're conduits. And I go, I don't know how many people will understand what a conduit is. Yeah, but it's the conduit is where all the power goes through into all of the house. And, you know, oh yeah, that's cool, you know. We're conduits of his power to those around us. So that works. So he does a work in us to do a work through us. That's why he saved us, because he's got a job for all of us to do. We're his disciples. We're to be working for the Lord. Jesus said it beautifully, I must be about my Father's business. That's what we must be about too. our Father's business. So we're born again. And in being born again, that's interesting because Jesus said you're born of your fathers, you know, fleshly fathers. But what about being born of your spiritual father? And we've taken on the characteristics of our parent. DNA is powerful, isn't it? And yet now we've been born from on high, from our spiritual father. So now the characteristics are going to be DNA. It's powerful. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with me? Well, you're going to be transformed and changed. And you're going to be giving out his love. And you're going to walk in humility like he walked when he was here. You're going to put on the mind of Christ. And we're actually becoming extensions of him. We are the body of Christ. We are his church. And he's the head, which we're going to talk about this morning. So it's an incredible thing that takes place. I think the best illustration of what's going on in the body of Christ is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. You don't have to turn there, but just put it in your notes. Ephesians 4, 16. Listen, this is my favorite scripture in Ephesians. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Bottom line is love is flowing out. But notice how everybody's compacted and every joint is used and effectual working of every part. And I like that because that's the body ministry. That's what it's all about. Great definition. Now, we left off with verse 3 of chapter 12. For I say, Paul says here, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you. So God gave Paul grace. And there's a need for grace in all of our lives. But he says, I don't want you to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So grace, my heart is extremely wicked. And God, you know, I mean, God's shown that to me many times. He knows my heart and it can be wicked. Oh my gosh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And just to be aware, and I think God wants us to all be aware of the log that's in your own eye. So when you come to your brother's house with this honking log, you know, and you come in the front room and start wiping out his lamps and everything in his house, that you're trying to get the sliver out of his eye, beware of your own log. Jesus said that. In other words, do you know who you are? Do you have that humility? Do you know that you're a sinner saved by grace? Do you understand how wicked your heart is? So he has some things he wants us to know. There's two attitudes that you can get through this. And the first one is, oh, okay, I'm no good. You know, and you walk in condemnation and you're condemned and you have this defeatist attitude and you're just defeated all the time. Listen, if you're in this boat, you need to abandon ship immediately because your ship's going down and you're going to pull others with you. That's no way to live. That's not what God would have you to live. That's not what I'm saying when I talk about, you know, understand how wicked you are. It is not to punish you. It's to bring our awareness up to really who we are and who he is. That's important. Listen, Romans 8:1 gave us the direction as far as condemnation. We're not to be walking condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the name of that. I mean, we should not ever walk around kicking cans. We should look up because our Father has called us to himself. He has chosen us, such as we are. So God receives us as we are. We're to, yes, put on the mind of Christ, and we're to be transformed in verse 2 of Romans 12 by the renewing of your mind, by staying in the Word, understanding what God says about you. That's the most correct thing. Not what you feel about you, not what others are saying about you, but what God says about you. That's what we need to hide in our hearts. That'll lift you up. That'll bless you to receive his power, his gifts, his call, and to be used of the Lord. And then to realize how much you're worth. Do you know how much you're worth in God's eyes? Do you really know? Well, all you have to do is look at Jesus hanging on that cross. And you are worth the blood of his son. Because he shed his blood for you. and for me. That's how much he loves us. I mean, what else does he need to do to share his love towards us? That's how valuable each of us are. So he is conforming us, the Bible says, into his image by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are continuing to be conformed into that image, which is the right image. And so he's saying, don't lean to your own understanding, you know, that, oh, I'm no good, I know, you know, and you start, you know, you're just reasoning in your own mind instead of setting your mind on the Word of God, because that's not going to help you. Listen, here's a scripture, a psalm. Happy are the people whose God is their Lord. You'll have the joy of the Lord if he's Lord of your life. You see, you just have to make him Lord. Just put him on the heart's throne. Let him be your all in all. Serve him. Be filled with him. Be embraced by his love. Just allow him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then comes the presence of the Lord, which is fullness of joy. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. So another attitude is the other side of the coin, and that is to think that you're God's gift to mankind. Oh, God, you got a good one here, man. When you save me, you save the right guy, you know. I can help you out. Whoa, that's dangerous. I'll tell you something. The scripture says God hates a proud look. He hates a proud look. Being used of God is very fulfilling. Only one life, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. That's so true. But there's a pedestal that man puts himself on at times that's so dangerous that you can fall off so quickly. And sometimes God just, because he sees you with your big head, he takes a pin and he just, you know, and you know, and then you're humbled immediately. And he does that too. And that's a good thing because we do get big heads and we do, because of pride, you know, just blow it. You start believing your own press. You become haughty in your heart. What is our protection against this, that we won't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think? Well, we need to understand grace. What is grace? Unmerited, undeserved, unearned, what? Favor. You're never going to earn it. You know, God just gave it to you. God just loves you. Oh, amazing grace that saved what? A wretch like me. Is that where your mindset is? You know, yes, I am a wretch, but he saved this wretch. And he lives in this wretch now. He's glorified in this body because I'm giving my body a living sacrifice to him. So Galatians 2:20, Paul says it this way. I am crucified with Christ. I love that because he's saying we have to die to the flesh, that the self-life is detrimental. So I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. So God uses and raises up the humble, the scripture says. He doesn't need me, but he will use me. This is exciting. He doesn't need any of us. He's God. But he will use us. And that's why I want to impact. I believe the Lord wants to impact our lives with that thought. I'm foolish. I'm weak. And I understand that. Remember, it's interesting. He used a donkey twice in the scriptures, didn't he? Anytime he uses anything twice, he's trying to make an issue. Number one, Balaam's donkey. He used the donkey to speak to Balaam. Balaam, what are you doing? You know, and woke him up. But then he rode a donkey on that Palm Sunday. And what's interesting is when you look into what he did, he told his disciples to go loose the donkey, to take him from the owner and bring him to me. And he went and he loosed the donkey and then he jumped up on the donkey. And it was just a small donkey. He was probably dragging his feet. He had to lift him a little bit, you know, because he was going to make his triumphant entry into the city on a donkey. Why not on a big black stallion, you know, like he should, you know? No, he wanted a donkey. Why? Because he uses donkeys. He uses sheep. Sheep are the most stubbornest animals, but donkeys? And then he has to loose the donkey, and we all need to be loosed from that which binds us, and then he rides the donkey. Lord, ride me. If you want to use me, you know, everything was given to Jesus, he used. The boat, you know, the tomb, the donkey. But have you given your life to him? Have you said, Lord, I want you to use me? I want you to make your triumphant entry in the lives and hearts. On me. Use me. Make something of my life. Let me be your poem. Make me be your workmanship. And he has a work to do with each of us. And then on that same day, that Palm Sunday, then all of a sudden, you know, as we sang the song this morning, Hosanna, Hosanna, that's save now, save now. They said, hey, stop your disciples from telling you to save now. You're no God. That's blasphemy. You tell them to stop saying that. He goes, no. You got to listen. If they don't say it and they don't shout it, these very rocks are going to shout it out. And he actually, you know, it didn't happen because the people kept on saying it. But we would have had the first rock concert ever. And then it would have went on from there. But it was stopped. And I believe God can cause rocks to sing it out. He's God. Didn't happen. But he uses rocks. He uses donkeys. He uses these interesting objects. And I hope we can relate some. That he wants to use, yes, even you. Such as you are. And you know who you are, hopefully. And that you're not selling yourself a bill of goods. And snowing yourself that you're somebody. No. You're nobody until you run into Jesus. Then you become a child of God. You are somebody then. Not until. Verse 3, in the last part, he says, as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Moses' excuse for not being used, he said, but God, I stutter. I can't speak well. You know, like that's an excuse to get out of it. He's saying, no, open your mouth and I'll fill it. You know, hey, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'm calling you to be used of me to speak mighty things. So give me your body. Living sacrifice. Remember, Peter and Paul, they ran to them thinking that they were somebody. And they said, no, guys, we're just men with like passions such as you are. This great miracle that you're seeing here is not done by us. You see, they knew who they were. Men with like passions. But they also knew who he was. And they saw his mighty handiwork. They saw his work in hearts and lives. You see, that's where God wants to bring us to. A reality and a sense of who we are versus who he is and what he wants to do in us so he can do that awesome work through us. They always pointed everybody to Jesus. We'd be lost without his love, huh? I mean, without his love, without his work in our lives, we'd be so lost. But it's Jesus, bottom line. Over in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are just clay pots, guys. But we have a treasure in us that needs to get out. The only way it's going to get out is when we speaking forth, is when we are bold and brave, is when we're filled with the Spirit and we begin to do what he's called us to do, and that is to compel them to come in. As Jesus said, I'm doing the work of my Father. I'm doing the business of my Father, and that's what we need to be about doing. He'll give us everything we need to do it. But the flesh interrupts, you know, and it begins to talk of it. And sometimes there's pride involved. And, you know, after all, I mean, I have such great faith. And the other day, as I was fasting and praying, you know, like, whoa, Mr. Spiritual. Well, you know, once you'll get there, just watch me. And, you know, Paul says, you better be careful. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But think soberly. Come on, wake up. Realize who and what you are. And yet realize what God wants to make you be. So we're given this measure of faith. I like this. Faith to believe. It's a gift to us. Faith to just believe in Jesus. This morning, he will give you faith. If you're not a believer, God will give you the faith to believe. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants you to come in to the family of God. He'll give you the faith. You just need to make the first step. That's it. That's that measure of faith, that step of faith. But then after that, once you come into the family of God, then he begins to give you gifts. You see, when he ascended up to the Father, he gave gifts unto men. We're going to talk about those gifts in a moment. Very important gifts. It's a gift to walk humbly before our God, that he would increase in my life and I would decrease. That's what it's all about. I would get in the back seat. I would let him drive and let him run my life. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Pastor Jeff Johnson with Sound Doctrine. He's got a bit more to say today, and we'll have that for you in just a moment. Today, our focus has been on the gifts that God gives to us and the great privilege of being used of God, part of our study in Romans. Well, to get today's study on CD, all you need to do is pick up the phone and call toll-free at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, the phone number is 800-353-7553. You can also replay any program you enjoy here at Sound Doctrine on sounddoctrineradio.org. And listen to Pastor Jeff through our app as well. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Marijuana, self-realization, meditation, self-hypnosis, psychedelic drugs, yoga. Jeff Johnson tried all of that and more in his search for the clear light. But you see, it wasn't until he met Jesus that his life really changed and he experienced life and light. In his book, The Seeker, you'll hear this amazing testimony, and I think you'll be left greatly encouraged and thankful. We're offering The Seeker, along with Pastor Jeff's Thanksgiving message, No Leftovers, right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or call 800-353-7553. And please remember, it's your gifts that help us bring Sound Doctrine to the radio and internet every day. It takes a team to accomplish this goal of reaching people around the world with the love and truth of Christ. Whether it's a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly support, God can use it in great ways to impact people with his life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or, again, call 800-353-7553. Simply put, we enjoy hearing from you, our listeners. It never grows old. Email us today, sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And also, mention the station that you're listening to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Again, we're talking about being used of God and our gifts. As we return to Pastor Jeff, he speaks for a moment about the many things that are abusing these gifts today.
So there's an interesting story in Acts chapter 3. You can read it later on. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, after this man was healed, and God gave gifts to Peter, and Peter was just moving in the gifts, but this guy got healed, and then he had to confront this group that was saying that he did this work, and they were kind of trying to worship him and everything. And he said, wait a minute. His name, through faith in his name, talking about the name of Jesus, has this man been made strong before you, whom you see and know? The faith which is by Jesus hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It's not anything that I've done or nothing of me. Oh, yeah, I said in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. But the Lord gave me the faith that this guy could be healed. Then the Lord gave me the gift of wisdom and knowledge to what to do. And that's, this guy's, you know, he's never walked. So Peter, the Lord's just telling Peter, you can just grab this guy and pick him up. He's going to walk. So he just reaches down. That's faith, right? And then uses the gift of wisdom and knowledge what to do with that faith. That's lift him up. And he lifted him up, and then, boom, the gift of miracles right there, right on the spot. Gift of miracles is when somebody gets healed instantaneously. Boom. And, of course, healing is involved with that. But I love that. He just gave all the praise to God. So the danger in God giving us gifts is this, and it's happened many times in the scriptures, and that is those that receive the gifts, they prostitute them. They abuse them. They misuse them for their own means, for their own profit. You see it on the TV all the time. It's all they're talking about. You got to give. You got to give. Will they ever get off that bandwagon? I don't think so, because there's a lot of money in it. And that's prostitution of the gifts, of what God has given, to start fleecing the flock and start ripping people off and making the focal point money.
We'll finish up this message next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and made possible through the generosity of our listeners online at sounddoctrineradio.org.
So, Father,